All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Good to see you all here. As we get started, we'll open in a word of prayer. I'll introduce our missionary speaker and let him introduce his family and his pastor, Julio, and Patty as well. All right, let's open a word of prayer if we could, please. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given to us. We do pray, Father, that you would bless us to focus on you, on your word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have for fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have for fellowship with believers from other churches in other nations. And God, we pray that you would help us to really seize the opportunity to know your people everywhere. And Father, we pray for Ken and Leah today as they present their ministry. We ask God that you would give them utterance, Father, that you would give the Spirit free reign in our hearts to understand the ministry, as well as and especially to understand your word as he presents it in the morning service today. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would bless us with fruitfulness in the Great Commission in supporting missions globally. And Father, help us to be good stewards of all that you've given. Lord, thank you for this hour that we have now. We just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I will say before I introduce Ken that the air conditioning, I just found out 5 minutes ago, is not working in this room. And so we have somebody looking at it. I am going to be setting up a fan in the corner and really cooling down the foyer and trying to blow fresh air in. But it could be a tough morning. We'll see. We'll hopefully have some answers here soon. We have today Ken and Leah Spieler. I'll let him introduce his family as well as his pastor Julio and Patty. And so, Ken, if you would come, missionaries to Mexico. Thank you so much.
I'm going to do this test real here quickly. Test. Am I in a good spot here with the microphone? Is that good? All right. Very good. Thank you so much. We are so glad to be here. Leah, why don't you come on up? And we're going to invite pretty much everybody from our crew. We came in a white 15-passenger van with a yellow roof. It's out there in the parking lot. And came all the way from Mexico. And so let me get everybody up here first. All the boys of my family, come on up. We'll introduce everybody at once. We're going to sing a song to start off, do a little time together in one song together, a song that's familiar to you. And we're going to do it. Leah will introduce that. But Cameron, why don't you come on up? Is Luke here? And Tim? And Trey? Where's Trey at? There he's coming. Yeah, he's there. He is. And then I'll also Julio and Patty and Jimena and Julito. Queremos presentarles una vez en frente. Okay. Well, we want to. So we've been traveling around a little bit together, and this is the first time they've been able to cross as a family to the United States, and in particular Julio. He is the pastor of the church that we are members of and we serve in. And so him and his wife Patty and their daughter Jimena and their son Julio, and so Julio Jr., and we joined them in Piedras Negras, Mexico. It's a great story. It's longer than I can tell right now. But would love to share about all that call that God was doing and how he brought us in connection with them. They had a church plant, a mission, and God so fit to have our church send them and be a part of that mission. And how God also, and you'll see in our presentation, how he moves and he refines and he directs. And so we're looking forward to sharing that with you. And my boys, here is Cameron in front here, and Luke behind, and Trayton and Timothy in front. And so we, four boys, we're glad to be here. You want to share this on?
I just wanted to, we wanted to start with kind of a call to worship this morning, even in this little time of Sunday school, and just sing a song with you. And I don't know if this is a song that you're familiar with as a church, but it's called My Jesus, My Savior. And it's a song that we do in Spanish as well. And for me, it was so eye-opening and just grabbed my heart when I first was able to worship in a Mexican church and hear just the voices all in Spanish, which I didn't understand that great at that moment. But you understand the worship of the one true God. And so to be able to hear that and realize that that's happening all over the world, even as we're here worshiping in English in all different languages, God is being worshiped and praised. And so we wanted to sing with you this morning. And so if you know the song, please sing with us in English. And you can try singing in Spanish, too, if you'd like. The words are up here.
Praise the one.
As I said, we were really glad to be here, and it's going to be great to get to know you a little bit more, see familiar faces. I see Joe and King Shai in the back and their kids, of course Kim and Eric, and others that we were able to see and meet the last time that we were here. That was years ago, for just one visit or two visits, but go ahead. But we are glad to be here, and we want to start by, where are we serving? Since July 2014, we have been serving alongside the local church in Piedras Negras, Mexico. This is the town that, as it says, they're about south and west of San Antonio, Texas, on the border. If you're familiar with that or with the Texas area. We have been there since 2014. It's like seven years now. I said eight the other day, and I was wrong. But Piedras Negras, that looks really tropical right there, but it is a desert climate, it is very hot right now. I think they've had a relief from heat, but usually it's like anywhere in the summertime from 100. It can get up to 110, 115. Like Arizona, probably, most people say. What is our mission? To proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, extend His kingdom through strengthening the local church in Mexico. How do we do that? So we do that primarily through pouring into pastors, missionaries, leaders, national missionaries there, teaching them or being a part of teaching, encouraging them, helping them with good resources for the purpose of growing and establishing healthy Bible-based churches and growing mature disciples that want to exalt Christ and want to be a part of His plan to continue to make disciples. And so that's our mission. So how do we do that? We do it by... You want to talk?
Yeah, we're just going to go back and forth and give a little bit of an idea of how we actually do that.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. When God called us, He was calling me and drawing me, and He put us on the same page. I wasn't just going to go without my flesh, you know, us going together, and so... It took a little bit of that, and that's another story, bringing us and aligning us to what God wanted for us. And that was a very important, special thing. But not only us, but we see how God has been using and moving in our boys, and how He uses all of us in His establishing His kingdom. And so we are so very thankful. And so there's ministry place for everyone of us in the kingdom of God, and we just have to know what that is and understand it from a biblical perspective. So
we knew that it was going to be the basis for the ministry that we have to do is going to be building relationships, and so that's where we began, and we're still doing that. It's a constant process of trying to make time making sure that we're making time for people, making sure that we're trying to address real needs that they have. There's a lot of physical needs, but of course, behind all those, underneath that, you know, we all have spiritual needs as well. And so we try not to just focus on only on one or the other, not just focusing on the physical and not just focusing on the spiritual. We also try to spend a lot of time praying together, being transparent with one another. Transparency is something that I think can be lacking in I think it's lacking a lot of times in American culture as well as being lacking in Mexican culture, just being totally open about what our struggles are and what God is what we're lacking and needing at the time. So we try to really make investment in the people there.
Yeah.
One of the my mentor works or had worked through strengthening the church in Minnesota, and so as he was mentoring me in this process years ago, forming in me certain things that were helpful for my walking with the Lord and serving the local church, but also his desire to see that, I think God was just using that, you know, training me up. But you know, three areas when I think about the pastors and leaders, because yes, we serve along the local church with Fuente de Vida, but also we pouring into pastors and getting to know them. And there's three parts: building relationships or befriending a pastor is one area of my life, and looking to encourage him. The other one is looking to see how I can train or be a part of the training process for their local church. And the other one is discipling men. And so those are three areas, three focuses. And it is a beautiful thing to be able to meet with guys. It is not an easy thing, as Leah was saying, in reference to accountability and being transparent in front of other people. It is definitely not the culture, accepted culture in the church. Sadly, in Mexico, it's something that we are needing to grow into. But as we understand our identity is in Christ, if my identity is in Christ, my pride, my looking for approval of what other people think of me, those things die away, you know, so that he can be exalted. And that is what we want to continue. Let him continue to do his work in us. And it was a while ago, we were talking with pastors about, I was talking with a group of pastors about this topic of accountability and where they saw themselves in the body. And sometimes there's this idea of that, you know, they're the head, you know, because they're the ones that continue to give the vision and direct and move. But we're really all part of the body. Christ is the head. And so we need to see that rightly. But then also, this whole idea of a giving an account in front of other people, that idea is thought of as like a financial thing in Mexico, or at least that's how it came across when I was trying to explain it the first time. And but then to see, no, it's like me walking in the light. You know, as 1 John says, this need to walk in the light with one another, and walk in the light with people that you trust, you know, but the importance of not to let anything be in the dark. And we don't want to give the enemy a foothold. We want the Lord to continue to do that. So this is important for us, for me in particular, but it's an important part of our discipleship process, embracing that. Because if we're not intentional in that area, we're missing out, and so easily can be derailed by the enemy or just our own flesh or the world. But so working with the pastors is a huge piece for us, praying with them, looking to model certain things, going there in hard topics, wanting to talk it through with them, what they believe, what they think. Trying to be specific as we can. Some of the trainings that we're excited about is intentional discipleship. And I don't know if you've heard of Simeon Trust. Simeontrust.org is a very useful material that we've used to help in training lay leaders in their process of learning to teach the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to be faithful to God's Word. And so those are some things that, that we have been, we just embrace a lot with the pastors and leaders. A lot of times because they feel isolated, they feel alone, discouraged, and sometimes depressed. And it is that way sometimes when you are the lone person and you are not able to communicate these things with people, what is God really doing inside of you? It is a lonely place. And so We want to see the growth in the leadership of the local church. We want to see the pastors really being intentional about having more leaders, you know, and see that plurality of leadership and shepherding in the church.
Another thing that we do, of course, is sharing the gospel, and that can happens in many different ways. Of course, you have the events that you're trying to be really intentional about sharing. And it's been such a delight because our children, our boys, have been able to be a part of that with us. We have dental and medical brigades that happen a couple of times a year, and in conjunction with a Dallas church. And in those times, we're able to share the gospel, but we do it with mixing through song and things like that. And so we're able to involve our boys in that. But we also can take those opportunities. People come to have physical needs met, but we can take the opportunity then to talk with them about the Lord and about spiritual needs, and to pray with them and to try to share the gospel with them. Of course, it happens door to door. It happens in the street. Ken has enjoyed going with the boys to the park to play basketball, and just with their eyes wide open, knowing that, yep, they're going to play basketball, but they're trying to look intentionally for opportunities to share the gospel with people while they're there. I just want to say that it also happens in our home and in our gatherings, meetings of the church. The gospel, you know, we just see over and over how the gospel is not just the entrance. It's not just the door through which we walk in order to have salvation. It is the road that we walk on. And so it needs to be daily a part of our conversation, remembering that we are not saved by good works. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved by His good works and His perfect work on our behalf, His sacrifice on our behalf. And so, we are saved to do good works. And so we are saved. He saved us by His work, and so that we can walk in obedience to Him. So the gospel has to be a part of our culture. It has to be a gospel culture. And so that's what we try to cultivate in our family and in our church, trying to talk about gospel at all times. We never want to get tired of it. We want to move on, and we want to continue to walk and talk about other things as well, and not only talk about that, but it always has to be underneath everything that we do. And so, yeah.
We teach in the Word in small groups. It's huge. That's a big area of where we meet in our small group discipleship. Also, large groups too. We have in our area four sectors of the city where the church is looking or working, and we do small group discipleship in those areas. And even there is in those small areas people that are drawn to our discipleship in those times, but we try to look at how can we minister in each of these areas that we're at as a smaller group in conjunction with the large church. But how are we going to begin ministering, reaching out, evangelism? How are we work with kids and Patty and Julio? Since we got there, they were a part of Awana. I don't know if you're ever familiar with Awana. But they have used that program to connect in the local and the community, and not only with kids but with parents. And so the teaching is in a lot of different areas, and we know that God will take His Word, and by His Spirit will help us to understand and grow us. And so and discipleship happens, as we said, in small groups, one-on-one. You can't always engage in so many, but if we understand our mission with the Lord, if we understand what our purpose is here on this earth, more and more of God's people in His church will begin looking and taking and being intentional and ministering and seeking people out to disciple. And so that is what we want to model and be a part of.
Both of us have the privilege of working with just serving through leadership, and so Ken is privileged to work with the group of leaders of the men, and as well as shepherding. That's our sector of the city, and I'm have the blessing of being able to work with the women's leadership team and lead that team. And we call it the las siervas de las mujeres, the servants of the women, because we got to always maintain in our minds that to be a leader is to serve. It's just simply to serve. But we have the blessing of trying to shape as I work with the women, and God has been helping us to learn this past couple of years more about just God's plan for the women of the church in Titus 2, and how we are to be seeking intentionally to train up the younger women to love their husbands and to respect their husbands and submit and to serve their family and to love their children, and how to so it's really a goal of ours, of our women's ministry, that the women on the leadership team will each, you know, if you take two and I take two, you know, then, and then the goal is that we each be taking two more who are somehow walking maybe a little bit further behind us in the, maybe they're not, haven't had as many years in the faith as you have. And yet, because everyone has something that they can share, and we share what God has shown us, and we don't have to know everything in order to be able to begin down that road of discipling others. We need to be willing to share what we have learned up to this point, and to be nurturing and helping someone else along in their spiritual walk. And so that's the goal of our ministry, is to not only be doing large group teaching, but also ministering one-on-one and trying to build those relationships.
We live in a place on the edge of the city called the Center of Ministries. And it's a ministry center. It used to be an old orphanage started by three women in the late 70s, I believe. So it's got a lot of years there. Basically, they had to leave because the government told them that they couldn't own property there. But they were serving the orphans. They were the first group there to serve people that were abandoned, and or kids that were abandoned. But now, this is after 50 years, we're using it now a part of our convention of Baptist churches, and we use it in a variety of things there, anywhere from camps or conferences where we do certain training, retreats, prayer retreats, marriage retreats. We do all special events, outreaches to the community there. So it's most people that live in the city and really close, and this is kind of like a 5-acre property on the edge of the area, and so there's a lot more possibilities there. We've been in the process of trying to raise up this area because it was really run down, stripped with a lot of the, you know, when you leave something abandoned, all everything that's worth of some value gets taken. So it's been trying to bring this back to a usable place. And as of last year, our church began meeting out there. And by the grace of God, we had some donation that came in. We were able to create a sanctuary. And they didn't have a large group meeting place inside. We had a roofed area where people would meet underneath. But in the wintertime, it does get a little cold, you know, and it does get hot in the summertime. And so God has provided that meeting place, and there it is. And that's about where it's at right now. Still need some work on the outside, but the inside is to capacity, to where we can use it. And it has been a huge blessing to us. At the Center of Ministries, and we are just really encouraged and blessed with how God has been putting things in line. for us. And I know that Leah is going to talk about something that happened last February.
Well, in February, as some of you may know through Eric and Kim, I don't know, but we had, it was during that cold, cold snap. I don't know if you remember when kind of the whole nation was in frozen state, and down in Mexico too. We had snow on the ground, and we had a fire in the house next to ours. Our house is the little yellow one in the corner there. You can kind of see it back in between. And so this was the largest and oldest house on the property, and basically it burned all the way up to this little shower house building that you can kind of see. It's all connected. We were thankful that the fire department finally arrived, even amidst the snow and ice on the roads. But there was it was a very traumatic experience for us because we were there. We were very, very thankful because no one was in the building. But it just felt like even while we called out to the Lord and we were crying out to him as we ran around trying to find fire extinguishers and what we could do, it just felt there was such a sense of powerlessness because we just felt totally powerless to stop it. And it was the house that we used to house all of our ministry materials, all of our big things like tables and chairs and stuff for the camp and Ken's office with all of his pastoral resources and everything, and our guest room and all of our sports equipment for the camp, and everything was in that house. So everything that wasn't in our own house, you know, we didn't lose food and clothing and things like that, but a ton of personal storage, homeschool materials and things like that, and all the camp storage, and church storage. We lost some things for that too, and so it just felt like someone had kind of just jumped on your chest and you knocked the wind out of you, as we were just thinking, Lord, what are you doing? There's learning learning that happens in that sense of utter powerlessness, of utter, you just have to depend on the Lord, completely and believe, and it's, those are times like that when, I think that they challenge what we say we believe. You know, we say we believe that God is sovereign. Okay, so if God is sovereign and he allowed this, then, and we say we believe that God is good and that he loves us and that he has a plan and that, you know, and so it's times like that that challenge those beliefs and put them to the test. And whether we're willing to accept God's sovereignty in this situation and embrace him and trust that his love for us is true, regardless of how the circumstance might feel. And he has proven himself so true just over and over. He's shown his I felt like he was saying to me, honey, you have no idea about my resources. You know, you're wondering, trying to think in your own scope of resources. You've got no idea of all the storehouses that I have available, and I will make those things available as they are needed and as I choose. And so we've seen him rebuilding the ministry in the last, I mean, this is just months ago, and he's already I will just say another, there's so many lessons that we learned in this process, but one of them is just, once again, he's a God who makes beauty from ashes. And so you'll see here, everything had to be torn down, totally demolished. It was a total loss, that area that burned. And there was about a third of the shower house that we'd been working on for the camp, kind of our COVID project. And about a third of the shower house roof burned because they were all connected by wooden rafters. And you can see off to the left, the water tank there, it melted down to the level of the water in the tank. And so about a third of it was unmelted. And the Mexican people are extremely resourceful and very good at repurposing things. And so they saw that and they said, hey, we're not going to throw this out. Let's cut it off. And we need a baptismal tank here for the new church. And so pretty soon the hole was dug and they brought it over and cleaned it up and cut it all off and put cement around it. And now we have a new baptistry outside for the church there. And so, the pictures of the actual baptisms are in a different slideshow.
Okay.
But then, as God would have it, as God has just been providing, the things that we lost personally as far as ministry space that we were needing, that we just felt like, ugh, how are we going to continue without an office and resources, and without a place to store the resources that we need for the camps, and without a place to house the visitors that we get to help us with ministry. And so God just started dumping out opening the doors and pouring in the blessing. And so this little building has been constructed in the last few months out of cement in our back corner of of the property where we are staying. And so the first area is for a guest room, and the second area, middle area, is for Ken's office, and then there's an area for tool storage. And to try to get the most out of, biggest bang for the buck, we've got a second level that's getting built kind of even as we're up here, that will be used for large group meetings, for a youth center, for the church, and for overflow sleeping space when we have large teams and things. And so God has just been so, so faithful, and we just want to celebrate that. So.
I just want to link back here how God had brought us to partner with the local church and be a part of the local ministry. And we are convinced that His plan is to grow us in and through the local church, the ministering, the one another's, being faithful to continue to keep the word in front of us, to walk in it. Seeing that as extending that out to other churches, and wanting to be a help and encouragement to the other churches, a big part of that is the investment in a local church and them seeing a good model. And because many times the pastors will say, what are you guys doing? Mm-hmm. You know, how are you dealing with this? And so if we are walking in it, we can help someone else with His word, His truth, and really the practical pieces too, in prayer, that they can walk in it also. And I just want to end. We're just about out of time. If God was moving in you to be a part of this with us, how might you do that? And we just simple pray, give, or go. Those all are possibilities of how you can partner. Pray. How do you know what to pray for? Well, we have a sign up in the back, where we send out a newsletter, a prayer letter, where you get to hear about what's happening. And we write on there prayer requests. And so it's just a way for you to be connected. And obviously, if anybody emails us or whatever, we can definitely respond. We would love to do that. You can give. And that's financially. We have an organization called C10 that takes care of the financial part of our giving. And you can go. You can be a part of it. We drove, and so driving is a possibility, but you can fly too. And we do have some weeks where there's work times, but we have been open to just making it work, and with people that are interested to come down, or a church that's interested in serving on a project or being a part in some way with evangelism. We'd like to do more door-to-door ministry, more and more talking with people. Obviously, Pastor Julio and the church down there, they've kind of used us gringos. They call it, we're from, they use the term gringos, but as a draw sometimes, it just, who are you guys and what are you here for? Well, obviously, it's a great opportunity for us to share about Jesus Christ. And so, do you have any questions? I know we're just about out of time. But we want to just open it up, and you can feel free to ask us anything during the time here or whenever. But if you had a question right now,
or in between
now and the service, yes.
Thank you,
Mr. Grant.
Helped you.
Yes. Okay. So, my education background is, well, you went to Bethel. We primarily were teachers. And so, my wife went to Bethel secondary or primary.
Elementary.
Primary elementary education. Mm-hmm. I went to Northwestern, and I got a math ed degree and also biblical studies. You know, they always have the double major. It was really through my discipleship, through my mentor, that his name is Joe Smith. He worked a lot through FCA for a long time, but lately he has been, and he worked through Strengthening the Church. There's an organization that that basically looks to help smaller churches. And that, and those specific things, like I was saying, befriending pastors, training elders or leaders, and discipling men. And so a lot of my discipleship came through him. And I've been just involved in Nine Marks conferences, Simeon and Trust conferences. We really are drawn to more the biblical counseling, and so learning more through that avenue. But also... I was going to say something else. You were asking the pastor for the church up here?
No, the one that you said had mentored
you. Yeah, and his name is Joe Smith. Yeah. And so right now he is working in a ministry, it's a purity ministry. And so he's specifically targeting being pure, sexually pure, thoughts, his ministry is Broken Strength. You can look that up online. Broken Strength is also another thing that he's involved in. So, other questions?
Any other questions? I do have a mic for you. So.
Sure. Yeah, it's between 200 and 300,000 people. It's, yeah. It doesn't have any skyscrapers. Just a lot of people and really close houses. Yep.
I'm sure you mentioned this. What mission boards do you guys work with or are you associated with?
Yes, a good question. We work through Commission to Every Nation, and their organization is a come alongside. And so what they required of us, they don't direct where we go, but they came alongside in the area to help us with logistics, financial shepherding, some training. And they, what they wanted to see is that there was a call, that there was a specific reason for the call and where you were going to be going, and that your church was going to support or be a part of that process of supporting and sending. And right now, our church is a small church that signed up to send us. And I think they didn't quite understand or quite know exactly what that all meant. And I think us being novices, too, in the process, we weren't quite sure. But my mentor helped us set up an advisory council, basically a board, which we communicate everything and put everything in front of them, and they help us. In with great feedback, counsel. We meet with them regularly through Zoom, but then also once a year through in person, and that'll be actually tomorrow. We're meeting them, but so that has been a huge help to us, and we are very thankful for that group.
Any other questions? Okay, we will be dismissed then, and we'll reconvene in 5 minutes here. Thank you, everybody.